From the Packers TV network, going end zone to end zone with the green and gold every week. This is Packers Live.
And hello again, everyone. Lance Allen alongside the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee. Wayne, just another ho-hum game at AT&T Stadium down in Dallas, right?
Aren't you getting sick of those, you know, pulsating, down-to-the-wire Cowboys-Packers games?
No, I'm not really.
All right. It was great, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable to be there, both of us there, after trading blows all game long. The Packers got the ball back, 1:13 left, trailing 31-28. They set the stage, another dramatic Aaron Rodgers drive, 9 plays, 75 yards, 102, Wayne, a thing of beauty on
started
this drive.
Started with a 14-yard pass play here to the sideline in Davante Adams, and then got the big fella, tight end, Martellus Bennett. This is what we all kind of expect him to do, take that upfield, break a couple of tackles, and tumbles into Cowboys territory. 2 plays, now you're in Cowboys territory. Then here it is, Aaron Jones. All day, he's made it look easy, Lance. He's making the right reads. Nobody's getting to him until he's 10 or 15 yards downfield, 15-yard run right there. This is 3rd and 8. Rodgers able to escape 2 Cowboy defenders, including the 6'7", David Irving, down the sidelines. 12-yard run to put the Packers on the right at the crucial point of this game. That was, I thought, the real key to that drive. Him picking up that first down and putting the Packers at the doorstep with plenty of time to go.
Now, we haven't even gotten to the game winner, so let's get to that. They're in prime position, 21 seconds left, first down at the Cowboys' 12-yard line, and I guess it's a case of at first you don't succeed, try again, Wayne, because it was incomplete the first time around.
First time that pass was thrown more inside to Davante Adams. Second time around, Davante asked for it to be run again. Make a better throw, Aaron, and he did. The outside shoulder, that's a back shoulder fade, and it worked to perfection over the rookie Jordan Lewis, who's going to be a good one for the Cowboys, but he was taken to school by Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams.
And we mentioned it, Wayne, looking at the film, looking at the video. On the first one, he had good technique. Like, Davante Adams almost had to make like a defender and defend the play. And the second time around, Lewis was not looking back, not looking at Rodgers, in a bad position, and that he paid for it.
Aaron said it so well after the game last night. He said, you know, Davante came back. He had that look in his eyes, like, and Davante said, run it again. And the look in his eyes, Aaron said, was, and throw a better ball, you know, and which he did. And that was made the difference. But, you know, again, I said a 12-yard scamper. I'm setting this up. 18-yard run by Rodgers set this up on the scramble. And it was just a masterful drive. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers made it look a lot easier than it really was. He just, I mean, the way he orchestrated that whole thing against the Cowboys defense, he was magnificent. And we've seen it several times now.
Absolutely.
And the Cowboys have seen it a lot, too.
Just 11 seconds left in the game. And, Wayne, can we finally put to rest the old narrative that Rodgers isn't clutch? I mean, now he has 12 fourth-quarter comebacks. I looked it up. 89th all-time. He's tied with Lynn Dickey in that department, among other quarterbacks, and 19 game-winning drives over his career.
You know, and it's amazing. And so much of it looks like an ad-lib because he's moving around, buying time, waiting for his receivers to get open, and so much of it is done on the fly. But I just think he's tremendous. Best quarterback I've ever been around. And, you know, I understand Tom Brady with the Super Bowl trophies. He's the greatest of all time. The best right now, this time, is Aaron Rodgers in the league. Believe me, everybody would take Rodgers.
He came in the huddle. Everybody, Wayne, I was in the locker room, and everybody said he came in the huddle and said, guys, we're going to drive down and we're going to score. And it wasn't empty words. I mean, they have that confidence oozing from the huddle, no
75
doubt.
Yards away against the Dallas defense, and they took it the distance in 9 plays. Oh, and didn't need 73 seconds.
No.
They left 11 seconds on the clock.
Right. Almost too much with that crazy play at the end. It was getting a little nerve-wracking there at the end.
I was sitting here saying, wait a minute, this thing isn't over.
You know? So that was a little nerve-wracking.
Well,
the other thing,
and part of the reason why it wasn't over is some of the extra point misses earlier in the ball game. And, and we've dissected these, folks. Now, this is away from, we don't have a really good look at this, but the operation looks clean to me, Lance.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the laces were correct, but the operation, the snap, the hold, looked fine, and it looked like Mason hit the upright.
Now this one
here.
Yes. Now that one, Wayne, you can tell, Tabor Pepper, snap wasn't great. It was a little bit low, a little bit short of the target, and then Justin Vogel's got to get that thing down, in my opinion.
A real good holder gets that down. I don't know how much experience Justin has holding, but, you know, that was one that should have been smooth, and the holder should have made up for the low snap. It was a low snap, but a playable snap.
Now, quickly, we're going to talk about this. The Packers are sitting at 4-1, and it's very, very early, But let's check the NFC landscape. And you know, Atlanta will be a factor. They're 3-1, technically a half game back, but they got the tiebreaker because they beat the Packers. But the 4-1 teams right now, you got Philadelphia and Carolina. Start with the Panthers. They beat the Lions Sunday.
The Lions played terribly in this home game. They lose for a second time at home. But Cam, the thing to note here is Cam Newton is starting to throw the football like he did 2 years ago.
Absolutely. And Doug Peterson and the Eagles have one of the more impressive starts. They control the NFC East right now, Wayne.
And Carson Wentz is emerging. 300-yard passing day again yesterday. Doug does a great job with this team. Their defense is better than people expected it to be, but Carson Wentz is the reason why that team, the Eagles, are on the rise.
Packers want home field advantage in the playoffs. All right, up next in our Chalk Talk, Larry McCarron pointing out a few winning performances on the final drive that you may not have noticed.
Packers Live is sponsored by Johnsonville, Mills Fleet Farm, Spectrum, and Cooper Tires.
Welcome back to Packers Live. You know, when you put together a game-winning drive to win a contest like the Packers did on the road Sunday, there are a lot of guys, not named Rodgers or Adams, that helped to make it happen. Larry McCarron highlights some of those players in our Chalk Talk.
That final drive, it certainly had its share of heroes and heroics, as well as its share of unsung heroes and unsung heroics.
First play, the Packers can double on the edges because Corey Linsley can single block inside. And the drive is off to a flying start. Next play. Martellus Bennett makes the catch 1 yard past the line of scrimmage. But look at Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison blocking downfield. Between their efforts and Bennett's own hard running, 1 yard has grown to 14. 2 plays later, Jari Evans secures the nose and the second level. And young Aaron Jones is not only slipping a tackle, but he's getting out of bounds and stopping the clock after 15 yards. And 2 plays before the play, Aaron Rodgers dealt the Cowboys a deal changer, not with his arm, but with his legs, running through 2 of them for 18 yards on 3rd and 8.
The genius and the beauty in those situations is the moment isn't as big as you think it is. It comes down to the little things executed perfectly. The protection was great. The run blocking was great. It was important plays at the most important time by those guys. That's why I'm really proud of them.
Wayne, let's go back to the beginning of that drive. We noticed that on the right side, Brian Bulaga getting him back, I think that was huge. On the left side, maybe they struggled a little bit more. David Bakhtiari coming back would be huge.
Yeah, a little bit more. They struggled this week than they did against the Bears. But you're right. If Bakhtiari can come back, and we don't know if he will or not this week, but if he can come back, that will be huge because now you'll put your line together the way you designed it.
And the Vikings like to rush and get after the quarterback. All right, up next, we've got all the big guns on the round table. Rod Burks and Tom Silverstein will set us straight next on Packers Live. Welcome back. We're joined by the Packers TV Network's Rod Burks and Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Gentlemen, our first topic of discussion. Here we go. Davante Adams endured that punishing blow from the Bears' Danny Trevathan just last Thursday. Sunday, he's catching 2 touchdown passes, including the game winner. Inspiring performance, but given all the discussion about concussions, did you feel some apprehension for him taking the field?
I was shocked that he actually played, that he was ready to go as soon as he was. I mean, he has a history of coming back. He did that last year from a Sunday to a Thursday from a concussion. But even so, that hit was so brutal, I just didn't see it happening. And he surprised the heck out of me.
It was definitely a brutal hit. I didn't know if the guy was there. I mean, I didn't know if he was going to be playing for a few weeks. I mean, that was a brutal hit. I mean, you see his mouthpiece go. You hear everybody ooh and on in the field. And I was worried about his life after football.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how devastating that hit was. And for him to say he didn't have any headaches during the week, he didn't have any pain in his head, and he was ready to go, it was just shocking to me.
And there was no neck damage or anything like that. Any of the things that you would get off a hit like that, I'm with you, Rod. It was amazing to see that happen. You know, I got Blake Martinez.
Yeah.
Playing at a different speed, don't you think, guys, this year? I'm not saying he's, you know, Luke Kuechly at his prime, but I'm saying this kid has really stepped to the next level in his second year in the league. What do you think?
Yeah, he's always been a very aggressive player, and that got him in trouble last year a little bit. He would get beaten on some play-action stuff, and he would commit too much and leave some things open. But his aggressiveness, it seems like they're playing to that a little bit, and especially yesterday, or Sunday, they wanted him to be aggressive. They wanted him to fill every hole to keep Ezekiel Elliott from really hurting him. And he did a really nice job.
And it showed, Tom, because he had 12 tackles, one for loss, seven solo, which to me the solo tackles really speak a lot, and one pass defense ride as well. I mean, he's all over the place.
Yeah, he's playing well. I mean, when he was a rookie, a lot of those writers were talking about he was going to be the next coming, right? That he was going to be the next coming at inside linebacker. A lot of people liked him. But he found out at the NFL, it's a bigger game. It's a lot more speed. And he got eaten up a lot last year. But he was learning the defense, learning his way. And I think this year he's a heady player. He's a smart guy. And he's just making plays, and he's at the right place at the right time. It's really helping out this defense.
All right, let's get to the controversy part of the segment. 1 week after getting sent to the
you
locker
mean the
room.
Anthem?
No. We're staying away from that. We already talked about that a couple weeks ago. All right, Demaryius Randle, 21-yard interception for a touchdown. That was one of the game's biggest plays, but he also had a foolish taunting penalty on the play, gave up a touchdown, had some good coverage, injuries piling up in the secondary, so he's going to play a role, guys. The question is, what do you expect Randall's season to be from here on out? Spoon, we're going to start with you.
Okay, first of all, let's be honest about it. Any of the four of us could have picked that ball off.
Wayne,
come on.
My hands are bad, Wayne.
Right off.
Can Wayne turn it into a pick six, though? Can Wayne turn it into
a pick six? Let's not
carry He's giving me way too
Only
much credit.
Only one of us could have turned it into a
pick six.
If I caught it, don't make the end zone.
They put me at cornerback because I couldn't catch it receiving Spoon. Let's put it that way.
So that's good for his confidence. Not that that's really been lacking from him. But they aren't going to count on him. They're going to need him. They obviously made an internal decision that they're going to continue to play him, even though he had whatever blow up you want to, you know, whoever's version of the story you believe, there was a blow up there. And they decided, okay, we're not going to punish him, we're going to stick with him. And so once Kevin King went out, he had to become a starter.
Absolutely.
And he started out as a slot guy, became the starter. Now we'll find out. It was a good start for him to come up with a big play by that. But his whole thing is consistency. He's got to show some consistency and keep his head in every moment during a game.
Well, I think that penalty could have been huge, too, Rob.
Yeah. It's important for him to just play the game. You know, I thought he didn't handle himself well outside the locker room. I mean, when he talked to reporters, he said, hey, look, when he spoke this week, he said, hey, look, I made a mistake. I'm putting it behind me. I mean, he was so combative with a lot of the reporters, writers, and TV people that I just think, hey, you cut it loose. I made a mistake, and let's go play some football.
And after the game, he denied that he got the penalty.
Yeah.
I was there, Tom.
It was like, what penalty? And it's like, okay, it's one thing to say I disagreed with the penalty, but it was just bizarro land. It was like, Blake Martinez, to his credit, said, yes, I got the penalty, but I disagreed with it.
The one thing that hurts him is that he's immature, and he's got to grow up. He's got to grow up fast. I mean, he needed that play. I mean, for a guy who had a rough week to make a play like that, that'll help him out in the career, because a lot of people thought he was going to get cut. I mean, because the Packers really don't put up with that. You've covered this team long enough. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that they didn't cut him?
I wasn't surprised because he's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ted Thompson's just not going to give up on his picks that quickly. He
has ability. Okay, right. We all understand that, right? He has a good ability. But the problem is, does he have the makeup to be a pro?
Yeah.
That's the question.
And that's
a big question in a big way.
And that's
too.
A key point. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with Tom on that. All right, okay. Lots of chatter in Dallas in the Twitterverse about this one. Should Dak Prescott, put your head coach hat on, should he have slid down at the one instead of scoring the go-ahead touchdown with 1:13 left and giving Rodgers all that time?
Well, I'll start. You can't guarantee that if you do that, You don't fumble on them. There's a bad snap.
Did we learn anything from Super Bowl 32 as well, Tom?
I go back to that. I mean, you just...
You're going to score when you can.
Yeah, you just can't. You can't assume that you're going to be able to, you know, run the clock that way. To me, the surprising thing was throwing the fade to
Dez Bryant
that stopped the clock. Yeah. I mean, you want to keep that clock running, and that was the surprise play to me.
I think it's too much of a chance. Anything can go wrong. A fumbled snap, a wrong play. One of the guards steps off the line of scrimmage and makes a mistake, a penalty. I think you got to score when you can score.
Dak said it best after the game. I saw the interview. He said, there's no guarantees. So I go drop to a knee. There's no guarantee we're going to score on the next play or two plays later or whatever. You know, just no guarantees.
Yeah. All right. There's one guarantee. Every time the Packers step on the field, Aaron Rodgers is the best player on the field, and he shows that.
He is good. All right, up next, Aaron Jones celebrating a very happy homecoming at AT&T Stadium on Sunday. That's next on Packers Live.
Packers Live is sponsored by Menards, UW Health, and Toyota.
Sometimes things really do seem too good to be true. Aaron Jones played high school football in Texas, played at Texas El Paso in college, and ran for 125 yards and a touchdown in his first NFL start in front of his family and friends at AT&T Stadium. A happy rookie is our Packers Extra.
Packers Extra is presented by Johnsonville and Mills Fleet Farm.
You dream of something like this. You always, like, as a third back, you're waiting on that your time. And the coaches just kept telling me, hey, stay prepared. Your time's coming. And it finally came. And I'm glad I was in Texas, had a lot of family at the game. So it's a big time. I can do this. That was just going through my mind. And Aaron's in my ear. Hey, you belong here. Keep doing it. And just building confidence in it. It's amazing. I mean, I'm just running off the sideline screaming. I mean, from the field to the sidelines, just screaming. This is something you dream of, really.
Okay, so we all know right now Ty Montgomery is the starter. Mm-hmm. Couldn't play. He was listed as doubtful, did not suit up. So what do you do, Wayne, at that position now from here going forward?
Well, I think you play it out. Obviously, you look at Jones and you say to yourself, well, this is a great complimentary back. If there's a power back, he'd be a great guy to bring in. He's the quick feet and the vision. But maybe he's more than that, Lance, and that's what the next couple of weeks will tell us.
I'm thinking Montgomery may still start, but you see a lot of Aaron Jones going forward. All right, up next, it's Vikings week. The Packers hit the road again for a division battle with the Purple Gang. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Packers Live. We all know about the Packers' injuries, Wayne, but Minnesota, they've had some terrible luck as well. Rookie running back Dalvin Cook out for the year. Sam Bradford has been in and out of the lineup, and one weapon who's continued to emerge is wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Burned the Packers last year, 9 catches, 182 yards, and he has started fast once again this year.
Yeah, I think more than 4.3 speed, he's got quickness off the ball, and he gets separation, as you can see in some of these shots from last year's game. And boy, he finds open space, doesn't he, and makes big plays. He's a guy they've got to be reckoned with.
And then no matter what quarterback the Vikings have in there, it seems like they find him, Wayne. Like you said, in open space, runs really good, precise routes as well for a fast guy.
Yeah, the quarterback can trust where he's going to be. All right, the ball is thrown in the NFL before the receiver makes his break, and the quarterback has to trust the receiver will get to the spot where the ball is going. They can trust Stephon Diggs. He's their one big threat, in my opinion.
Okay, the Vikings seem to be kind of a complete team on defense going into the Bears game on Monday night. Vikings had given up less than 20 points per game. Everson Griffin continues to develop into a pass rusher you have to contend with, especially at that loud U.S. Bank Stadium, Wayne. And they're ranked 9th currently right now in the NFL in yards, but they're definitely a top 10 or top 5 defense.
There's no question that, Lance, the Packers, one thing to do what they did to the Dallas defense, mm-hmm. there's, as like the old horse racing term, they're stepping up in class this week in Minneapolis against this Vikings defense.
It's more of a derby matchup, as Wayne would like to say. All right, for Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers, I'm Lance Allen. We'll see if the Packers can grab another road win, an important division win in Minnesota on Sunday. We'll see you next week, everybody.